Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. There is also a special offer enclosed with this month's tape. Grandy & Associates also produces another tape series called Service Sense for Technicians on customer service and customer relations. Next month marks the beginning of the third year of the Service Sense tape series, and it will feature three brand new speakers, Charlie Greer, Ron McCann, and Jim Olstinski. Charlie is the most sought-after tech trainer in the country, and Ron is a very successful contractor and author of the best-selling book entitled The Joy of Service. The final speaker is no stranger to you. He is Jim Olstinski. Jim is the editor of both Plumbing and Mechanical magazine and the award-winning PHC Profit Report newsletter. And he has authored four past business tapes. Send in the enclosed flyer today, and as a current business tape subscriber, you will receive a 20% discount on your entire order. Have you ever made what you thought was a tremendous sales presentation, only to have the customer simply say the price was too high? Or worse yet, have you ever had the customer flatly tell you they already had a bid on exactly the same make, model, and manufacturer of equipment you are proposing, and the other bid was $800 lower? If you have been in one of those situations, and most of us have, you were probably stopped in your tracks with no real way to respond to the customer. All that will change after you listen to this tape by Pat McCormick. Pat has been actively perfecting his talents as a salesperson in the HVAC industry since 1976. The first 11 years were focused on in-home sales with a progressive contractor in Southern California, where Pat quickly became the top performer, sales manager, and eventually branch manager. He wasted no time in bringing his sales training expertise to his dealers after joining Lennox Industries in 1987 as a territory manager. The training was expanded in 1988 and 1989 when Pat was promoted to dealer marketing advisor. During this period, he perfected the basic training workshop and offered it to contractors all over the western part of the country. In 1990, Pat became the district sales manager and spearheaded the opening of a new Lennox facility in the Los Angeles area. In 1992, Pat created the Sales Excellence Advisors League for Lennox. As National Retail Sales Advisor, Pat conducted workshops all over North America. Sales soared as he trained over 1,000 individuals in less than 2 years. In 1994, Pat started his own company, Sales Excellence Training, which enables him to devote 100% of his efforts towards what he loves doing the most, increasing the success of salespeople. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and learn from one of the best sales trainers in the country. We know your sales will increase after listening to this tape.
The price objection. It doesn't matter what trade you're in. When you talk to the homeowner and you're presenting quality products and services, it's not uncommon to hear, "That's just too much money. You're way out of line. That's what I paid for my home. You guys are really outrageous." It's almost like a conditioned response, isn't it? A part of human nature. Almost everyone will tell you that it's too high, but survey after survey has proven that most people want value, quality, and service above the price. Your income will reflect the value of the services you provide for the homeowner. This tape will provide you with tools to build value and educate the people you serve towards a wise investment. People are more willing to pay for quality today than ever before. In other words, we need to build value, not lower price. How do we do that? By making a value-added presentation on our product and services. During this process, we are selling four things: self, company, product, and money. In other words, offering convenient financing. We are not out there to deliver a bid. What kind of images do you conjure up in your mind when you think of the word bid? Usually, the low one gets the job, or an auction, or something of that nature. Actually, BID is an acronym that stands for Beat Idiots Deal. I do not believe in canned pitches. I think homeowners today are way too educated for that. But I do believe in a planned presentation. A presentation that will, number one, build a like-trust relationship through the warm-up. Number two, provide proper diagnosis. Number three, build a foundation of credibility. Number four, demonstrate a strong features and benefits story. Number five, make it easy to afford your products and services. Number six, help them rationalize a decision that is truly good for them. If all of six of these ingredients are included, we can, in most cases, overcome the price objection. Let's tackle these ingredients one at a time as we build value and increase desire. Step number one, building a like-trust relationship, the warm-up period. This might have already started with the first phone call to your establishment. Did the customer get put on hold? Did they have to listen to elevator music or a radio station that could possibly be playing an ad from one of your competitors? Was the phone answered before the third ring? Did your employee answer the phone with a smile in their voice? So this like-trust relationship might have already started with the first phone call. Now that the appointment has been set, you actually show up on time. Do you know how rare that is in the trade industry? It's sad but true. Just by showing up on time, you've probably already exceeded expectations. As you approach, you park in the street, not in the driveway. Why not in the driveway? Well, you want them thinking about what you are saying in your presentation and not worrying about if your vehicle is leaking oil on their beautiful driveway. That's the number one reason. Number two, you really don't want to block them in. Why? You might be in the thralls of your presentation and they're going along with everything that you're saying, and then all of a sudden the daughter or the son asks you to move your truck so that they can go to work or school. Now what do you have to do when you go back in there? Start all over again. And you may never get the enthusiasm back to the place where you left off. Another reason for parking out in the street versus the driveway is that your vehicle has better signage out there. You want not only for your client to see the vehicle, but future clients as well. You know what I mean by future clients, don't you? That's right, the neighbors. They want to know what is going on their street. It's called Neighborhood Watch. As far as the cleanliness of the vehicle, let's just keep this real short and sweet. If they see a dirty truck, they think dirty home. It is as simple as that. Image is very important. First impressions are paramount. Assuming that your vehicle made that first impression, now let's talk about you. What should you look like as you approach the home? I think the key here is to be non-threatening. If you try to envision what a typical salesperson looks like and look just the opposite, you'll probably be very successful. I think the appearance should be clean and professional looking. I think it should also be very conservative. Just think about the average age of a person that gets involved with your company's products and services. These are conservative people, so you have to look the part for your customer. What are some of the things that you should be looking for as you approach the home? Some observations that can tell you a little bit about your customer before you even get to the front door. Do they have a neat, manicured front lawn? Do they like to raise roses? Have there been home improvements already performed on the home? Roofing, siding, new concrete, room additions? What about their vehicle? Does that tell you a lot about people? Is it a utility vehicle? A muscle car? A family car? What does that vehicle have on it? Does it have a bicycle rack? A gun rack? A ski rack? What about bumper stickers? Bumper stickers tell you a lot about people. If there is a sign of the fish on the bumper sticker, does that mean that these people are very religious? If there is a Free Willy bumper sticker or the spotted owl, does that tell you that they're environmentally conscious? Keep your eyes open. Are there toys in the front yard? Do they have pets? You can find out a lot about people and maybe even find something you have in common with them before you even knock on the front door. After you knock on the front door, back away a few steps to give them their comfort zone. What should a good handshake be like? Well, it's pretty simple, really. Good eye contact with a smile is a good way to start off. It's almost impossible for somebody else to frown when you are smiling. Match the firmness of your customer with that handshake. People like people who are like themselves. Should you shake hands in most cases with a lady? You betcha. You had better. In most cases in our society today, shake hands with the lady or she is going to think that she's insignificant in the decision-making process. And that wouldn't be good, would it? It's been said that the lady makes the decision 65% of the time when it comes to improving the home. And I think the other 35% of the time, she's just letting her husband think that he's making the decision. Don't forget to show respect for the homeowner's property. Wipe those feet before you enter. And how about taking off your shoes altogether? But I think the salespeople that have impressed me the most are the ones who put the shoe covers on their feet before they enter the home. It's nice that the shoe covers help to keep the home cleaner, but the primary reason is to exceed expectations and differentiate yourself from all of the other contractors out there. Many years ago, Walt Disney said, "If we please every customer enough, we will fail. But if we please them so much that they just have to tell others about us, then we'll make it." Well, I think Disney made it pretty good, don't you? And I also think that if you incorporate some of these simple tools, it can help you towards your goals. I have always been taught that we should treat every customer as if they were the most important person in the world, because to them, they are. Now that you're inside the client's home, keep your eyes open again for things that you might find that you have in common with them. Bowling trophies. Do they like to fish? Do they like to hunt? Do they have a large family? You can notice these things without being too nosy. Give them a sincere compliment. When I say sincere compliment, I really want to underline the word sincere, because there's nothing worse than a phony one. For instance, if you were to come into my first home that I purchased in the Los Angeles area many years ago and said, "Gee, Pat, you've got a beautiful home here, and it's in a great neighborhood," you wouldn't have gotten very far with me on that sales call, I can tell you that right now. But if you would have come in and said, "Gee, Pat, is this your first home?" And maybe I responded saying, "Yes, as a matter of fact, it is." And then maybe you said, "Gee, it's a major feat just getting into a home anywhere around here these days. Congratulations." Now that's sincere. After your compliment, you might want to engage in some small talk about something you found that you have in common with your prospect. In the final stages of the warm-up process, you might want to summarize what's going to happen on your call. If you ever take a speech class, they tell you to tell them what you're going to do, then you do it, then you tell them what you've done. So by summarizing, we're going to tell them what we're going to do. You might say something like, "What we're going to do first is walk around and determine what needs to be done. Then I'm going to tell you a little bit about our company, provide you with some features and benefits of our product and services, and then I'm going to offer you some good financing." Now let's proceed to step number 2 in the value-added presentation, providing proper diagnosis. What is proper diagnosis anyway? Well, I think you need to give their home a thorough going over. Look at all the details. What would you do to that home if it was your home? They deserve to have the same. After all, prescription without diagnosis is malpractice. Can you imagine if I went to a brain surgeon and told the surgeon that I think I have a brain tumor and I know that you can treat this chemically, so go ahead and write me a prescription for that brain tumor, and if that doesn't work and my headaches don't go away, I'll come back and you can crack my skull open and remove it surgically. So the doctor says, "No problem, Pat. Here, take the prescription. I hope it works for you, buddy." I take the medicine and I die. That's a malpractice, isn't it? Well, how much malpractice is going on in your trade, in your industry? If it's like most industries, I think you will agree it's excessive. So, by performing a proper diagnosis, as sad as it may be, we are differentiating ourselves from a lot of the competition out there, aren't we? Don't forget to get your homeowners involved in the analysis. Give them an education. They will appreciate it. After all, the number one thing that we are selling is ourselves, and how can we do that if they are not with us? We probably wouldn't be out there talking to the homeowners unless their home had a problem or an illness. So we need to ask the proper questions and find out what the symptoms are before we can properly diagnose the problem, just as a good doctor would do if you had a serious problem. Do you notice that your doctor is usually taking notes on how you respond to the questions? Are you doing the same with your homeowners? Are you jotting down how they respond to your questions? I think it adds a lot of credibility. It's a good idea to have a needs analysis form, a form that has all the proper questions on it. The form makes you look more professional than your competition, and it forces you to cover all the bases. You might get carried away on a tangent on one of the questions and not get back to another question that might be even more important to them. The form is a professional, business-like way to find out what their needs are and then design a value-added presentation around it. What are some of the questions that you would ask on this form? That depends on your trade and what you're out there to do. Do you know the approximate age of your home? Approximately how many more years do you plan on living in this home? I think that's an excellent question. I used it as a barometer to determine what I'm going to design for them. What do they like most about their existing system? What do they dislike most about their existing system? Have they previously looked into estimates from another contractor over these same problems? There should also be a place on your form to make proper measurements or drawings if necessary. The more thorough, the better. I'll say it one more time. Prescription without diagnosis is malpractice. Now it's time for the third stage of the value-added presentation, building a foundation of credibility. Can you imagine a home or a building without a strong foundation? It would probably crumble, wouldn't it? We have to do the right things at this stage of our presentation to ensure that the remainder of the building process will be firm. During this stage of the presentation, we are also transitioning from selling ourselves to selling our company. How do we sell our company while we are in our client's home? I think the best way to achieve this is with the credibility booklet, underlining the word booklet, which infers keep it small. Not a book, not a pitch book, but put together a small booklet that gives the homeowners a tour of your company. Here are some of the things that you might want to include. Photographs. How about a group photo in front of your building with the vehicles lined up? Everyone in clean uniforms with smiles and well-groomed. Talk about a picture being worth a thousand words. You know when a good time is to take the group picture in front of the building? Payday. People are pretty happy then, aren't they? It's also pretty easy to get them to come on in. Go inside the building and departmentalize the inside of your facility. The front office, the person that normally answers the phone, the service department, the parts department, the installation department. If you have a training room, which most companies do, that kitchen table sitting over there by the refrigerator in the break room, sit down a couple of technicians or some workers and have somebody pointing at a flip chart. That's your training room. How about the engineering department? Yeah, everybody's got an engineering department. A set of plans laying on a table with somebody looking at them. Historical memorabilia. If your company's been in business for quite some time, you might want to show a picture of how you first got started with one of the old trucks and how you've transitioned into a larger building with the newer trucks. Before and after pictures like that are excellent. How about before and after installations? Here's what the home looked like before the installation, and here's what it looks like after the installation. If what you did for these people helped them save on their utility bills, you could also include before and after utility bills. How about a worker rolling out a drop cloth or putting those shoe covers on that we talked about earlier? Do you think that picture might be worth a thousand words? You'd better believe it, especially if you're already sitting at the kitchen table with them on. Again, we are exceeding expectations. Certificates, like your company's contractor's license, insurance documents, certificates from training classes that your company has participated in, bonding companies, these all add credibility. Organizations that you belong to, like the Better Business Bureau, the Chamber of Commerce, the Lions Club, and charities, people want to see that you're involved in your trade and your community. Sponsorships, like Little League teams and awards that you've achieved throughout the years, are also good things for building credibility. If your company has been in business for quite some time, you might want to go back and find an old Yellow Page book. Take a 10-year-old book and use a red pen to line out all of the contractors that were in business 10 years ago and no longer with us. Then take your ad and circle it with a blue pen. What that 10-year-old Yellow Page will look like is probably a sea of red with a blue circle in it. And the point that we're trying to make is, yes, you do sell your products and services for a little bit more than some of the other contractors in the marketplace, but there is a thing called profit, and that's what keeps us in business, to take care of them. And that's really what they want, isn't it? Bear in mind, you don't have to have a large organization to put together a beautiful credibility booklet. If you take the photos properly and present certificates and organizations in a professional manner, you can take a fairly small organization and make it look like Disney World. Remember, we call this a credibility booklet, not a pitch book. We have to keep it short and simple. If it takes more than 5 minutes to present, it's too long. Now that we have built a strong foundation to stand on, it's time to transition from selling our company to selling our products and services. We can do this by moving to the fourth stage of the value-added presentation, demonstrating a strong features and benefit story. First, I think we need to define what the difference is between a feature and a benefit. A feature is what it is. It's the object itself. A benefit is what it does for your customer. One of the most common mistakes that contractors make is that they get carried away with all of the features and all of the little technical jargons that go along with it, and the customer could care less. The customer wants to know, what is it going to do for them? Every time you explain a feature, make sure you follow it up with at least two or three benefits. How many attributes can you come up with for your product or services other than the most obvious? Think about a box of Arm & Hammer baking soda. What kind of uses do you think of when you think of Arm & Hammer baking soda? Could it be deodorizing the refrigerator or freezer, or putting it in the kitty litter, removing spots from the carpet, whitening your teeth, an antacid for your stomach, removing the acid from your battery cables? You could probably come up with 10 or 15 things, and usually the last thing anybody comes up with is, you can bake with it. Even though it says right on the front cover, baking soda. So how many uses and benefits can you come up with your product and services other than the most obvious? This might be a good exercise for you to sit down with your entire company and list these items on a regular basis so it's fresh in everybody's mind. During this features and benefits story, we need to use good sales aids. In some cases, the manufacturer's brochures are excellent. Many of the salespeople that I ride with will take a brochure and highlight the sections they feel are most important for their customer. Again, emphasizing benefits. Any time that you can take a sample of your product or a small model and put it in the homeowner's hands, you're going to be more effective. Many times we find ourselves selling the sizzle, not the steak. So if you can take a little piece of steak and put it in their hands and show them the quality of what you have to offer, your presentation is going to be more effective, isn't it? Let them feel the quality. At this stage in the presentation, you might want to draw a picture to show what needs to be done and how your product and services will harmonize with their home, where the average person spends about 60% of their life. Did you know that 2/3 of people that we talk to are visual in communication? That's where the old saying comes from, a picture is worth 1,000 words. If your customer is sitting back in the kitchen chair with their arms folded as you go into your drawing, it will pull them right into your presentation. It creates a benevolent, mesmerizing environment. Don't forget to mention the manufacturer's warranty and any maintenance programs that you may offer. This will help you to achieve peace of mind for the homeowner. Now, as we wind down to the end of stage 4 of our features and benefits story, it's important to qualify and find out what kind of a job we've done up to this point. Price aside, does this sound like the products and services you would be happy with? Wait for a response. Most of the time, you will get an easy yes to that one because they think they will just tell you that the price is too high. That's how they'll get rid of you. The second question you want to ask when qualifying, and use the first two words, price aside, again. Price aside, does our company sound like the type of contractor you would like to do business with? Get those two commitments before proceeding. What we are doing here is we are getting it down to the money, the total investment. We are also sealing the escape route. If we can get a commitment for our products and services, and we can get a commitment for our company, where else have they got to go? Now that we have it down to the price, we might want to present our proposal by making a statement that will transition them to quality and start their thinking process towards investment instead of the lowest price. Here's an example. Now it's time for the price. I bet you thought I would never get around to it. The reason I took the time to explain my company, product, and service to you is quite obvious. The investment figure I'm going to present to you is probably going to seem like a lot of money. I had to show you why. I didn't want you to be like a lot of people who collect two or three bids and go with the lowest price and find out that they're not happy with the contractor, product, or services once it's installed. After all, quality is the best economy. Don't you agree? That is beautiful. It is really hard for anybody to say no to that. Have you ever listened to Zig Ziglar? He's one of my favorite speakers. He is always making good quality statements. Zig would probably put it this way. Many years ago, our company made a very important decision. We decided that we would rather explain the price one time than to apologize for poor quality forever. And I'll bet you're glad we made that decision, aren't you? These quality statements can be excellent tools to transition into the presentation of your agreement. Now it's time to present your agreement. Design a dialogue to go along with the reading of your company's proposal. Use this time to build excitement. Use the brochures as references while you read. The average prospect could care less about model numbers and technical jargon. Give them a brief recap of the features and benefits as you go through the list of included items. When you get to the money part at the end of the presentation, please don't say the price is $5,723. If you say the total investment is only $5,723, it sounds much better. Don't you agree? Don't forget to ask the homeowners for the business. After all, you have been in the home giving them a free estimate. It doesn't cost them a penny. Most people expect you to ask for the business. Unfortunately, most individuals in the contracting trade do not ask for the business. Before you ask for the order, you are telling. After you ask for the order, you are selling. You really have to earn the right to ask. Please do it face to face. Don't let the phone company or the post office get involved in this process. There is nothing wrong with the direct approach. Let me ask you, Mr. and Mrs. Homeowner, how do you feel about this? How does this sound to you? How does that look? I don't think that's too pushy at all. And if they say it doesn't look very good, then you say, what is it about the presentation that doesn't look good to you? Now you have made a transition from telling to selling. So make sure that you always ask for the business. Wayne Gretzky may have said it best when he said, you miss 100% of the shots you never take. That's kind of profound, isn't it? And after you ask, please do this for me. Shut up! Don't keep talking. Wait for them to respond. I'm sure you've heard the old saying, the next one who talks buys. That's just as true today as it was 100 years ago. Just be quiet and let them respond. Most of the time, objections will start flowing at this point. Welcome them because objections are stepping stones to the sale. We have now earned the right to handle the objections head on. Now that we have the total investment out on the table, it's time to move to the fifth stage of the value-added presentation. Make it easy to afford your products and services. How do we do this? With convenient financing. Can you imagine an automobile dealership without two or three good sources of financing? How do you think Sears sells most of their home improvement systems? Could it be the convenience and versatility of their financing? As the cost of labor, equipment, and overhead continues to rise, financing becomes more and more important. We have to make the system affordable for the average homeowner. Anytime you are face-to-face with the end user on a regular basis, you are a retailer, and retailers know how to offer convenient financing. Let your customer know that you still accept cash. We still accept the green stuff, don't we? We accept the plastic if you want to get some mileage on your frequent flyer program. We have this unsecured type of financing with a revolving charge card. And we also have home improvement financing if you want to consolidate your loans or write off the interest. Out of these four ways, which would be best for you? Then you shut up and let them pick one. Financing can be one of your strongest tools when overcoming the price objection. After all, if you have some long-term financing, the difference between you and a contractor that is $500 less than you could be as little as $10 to $15 a month. It's a lot easier to rationalize the $15 a month rather than the $500. Wouldn't you agree? Now we're getting down to the fun part. We've done a good job of selling self, company, product, and money, offering the convenient financing. So let's move to the final stage of the value-added presentation, number 6. Let's help them rationalize a decision that is truly good for them. We have now earned the right to handle these objections head-on. Wouldn't you agree at this point in our presentation, after we've presented the total investment figure, that one of the most common objections we hear is, "We just need some time to think this over, and it just costs too much money." Boy, if we could be good at handling both of these objections, we'd be super salespeople, wouldn't we? Well, I've got a technique that can help you out here. I call it justification. What I did is I took two of the oldest closes in the book, "I Want to Think It Over" and "Reduction to the Ridiculous," and I molded them together and put a transition between the two so that we can get rid of "I Want to Think It Over" and get it down to the money. When the homeowner says, "I need to think this thing over," this is how you should respond. "Well, that's fine, Mr. Johnson. Obviously, you wouldn't take your time thinking this thing over unless you were seriously interested, would you? I mean, I'm sure you're not telling me that just to get rid of me, so may I assume that you're going to give it very careful consideration?" A nice long pause here. Maybe even pack up a couple of things and put what you presented to your customer in your briefcase. Just to clarify my thinking, what phase of the opportunity is it you need to think over? Is it the quality of the equipment? Is it the reputation of my company? Is it something I forgot to cover? Seriously, please, level with me. Could it be the investment, the money? Most of the time, the homeowners will grab onto this and they will say, "Yes, it's just too much money." That's a beautiful thing, because "I want to think it over" is no longer an issue. It's a thing of the past. So when they say it's just too much money, you respond this way: "Well, today most things do cost too much. Can you tell me about how much too much you feel it is?" Let's say that the homeowner states that you were $1,000 more than the other estimates. Let's take that $1,000 and divide it by the 5 years that you said you were going to be living in this home. That works out to be about $200 a year, doesn't it? Now, if we take a look at this on a monthly basis and divide the 200 by 12, we're looking at less than $17 a month. So, for $17 more a month, you have some of the finest products and services available on the market today installed by a contractor who has one of the finest reputations in our community. I really feel we're worth $17 a month more. Don't you? Many times, a customer will say yes, and you've got yourself a sale. By the way, if by chance the product or services you install save energy, you can deduct the energy amount from the $17 a month. In some cases, you might save them the entire amount, and that makes the sale that much easier. Now let's handle another price objection. What would you do if the customer said, "You're $1,000 more than the guys down the street with the same exact products"? How would you handle that one? It's pretty tough, isn't it? I think the first thing that I would do is go back to the four things that we are selling: self, company, product, and money. The only thing that they are comparing to you with the guy down the street is the product. So emphasize the other three things. They're not getting you. They're not getting your company. You can really differentiate yourself here, especially if you've done a good job with your credibility booklet. They're not getting convenient financing. So emphasize the other three things other than the product. If that doesn't work, I think the next thing that I would do is call their bluff. Guess what? Homeowners exaggerate just like salespeople do. You say, "If you've got somebody down the street with exactly the same product as we have for $1,000 less, here's mine. Here's my proposal in detail with everything on it and the total investment figure at the bottom. Please show me theirs." You know what? Most of the time, they can't find it, can they? Because if they produce it, they would probably make themselves liars. They are really not $1,000 away. It's maybe half that amount. And it's not exactly the same product, is it? But let's play devil's advocate here for a moment. Let's say you try to rationalize by emphasizing the three things that you are selling other than the product, and that didn't work. They laid their proposals right next to yours, and I'll be darned. It's the same product, and it's $1,000 less. It's going to be installed by a company that has a fine reputation in your community. What do you do then? Well, my favorite technique is called the porcupine. If somebody threw a porcupine in your lap, what would you do with it? You'd probably throw it back at them, wouldn't you? You don't want that prickly little thing in your lap. He could do some serious damage there. So you throw it back into the lap of your customers. Here's how you might do it using this technique. The customer says, "You guys are $1,000 more than the guy down the street with exactly the same products." You come back with this response. "Well, let me ask you a question. If we were exactly the same price as they were, who would you go with?" Well, the customer is going to respond, "You guys, of course." And then you come back and ask a simple question. "Why? Why would you go with us versus the guys down the street with the same products?" Then the customer is going to come back to you and they're going to give you all the reasons why they like you better than the guy down the street. "We like your professionalism. We like the fact that you take care of our home by putting the shoe covers on. We like our warranties, and you have a better reputation than the guy down the street." When they've finished telling you how much they love you, all you have to do is look them right in the eyes and say, "You know what? From what you just told me, I think I can see the difference. Can't you?" That porcupine is a beautiful technique, isn't it? Because the customer is not going to argue with themselves. There's two reasons why they're telling you that you're $1,000 more than the guy down the street. What do you think the primary reason is? Most of you out there are probably saying to yourself, "Well, they just want you to come down." Yes, that's one of the reasons, but not the primary reason. The primary reason is they want you. You have done a better job than the guy down the street. Otherwise, they wouldn't waste their breath by telling you so, would they? If they like the guy down the street the same as they like you, they would simply go with the guy down the street. So take it as a compliment when they tell you you're higher. The number one reason they are telling you that is because you've done a better job. This technique works almost every time. Try it. You'll like it. Another way to overcome the price objection is to arm yourself with some famous quotes. My favorite quote is the John Ruskin's quote. I actually have this on the back of my business card. Whenever someone is questioning me about the price, I turn my card over and read the quote to them. At the top, in big letters, it says, "You get what you pay for." It's unwise to pay too much, but it's worse to pay too little. When you pay too much, you lose a little money, that is all. But when you pay too little, you sometimes lose everything, because the thing you bought was incapable of doing the thing it was bought to do. The common law of business balance prohibits paying a little and getting a lot. It can't be done. If you deal with the lowest bidder, it's well to add something for the risk you run. And if you do that, you will have enough for something better. I love that quotation. It sounds lengthy, but it fits on the back of a business card quite well. By the way, John Ruskin made that statement in 1895, and every word is just as true today as it was over 100 years ago. Some of the things that I study are ageless. Other things that I've learned just a year ago are already obsolete. We have to stay in tune with our changing market, don't we? Here's another technique for the price objection. Competitive bidding is a double-edged sword. The high bidder can afford to hire and keep skilled, qualified personnel, use the best equipment, have good tools, take time to do a good job, and provide adequate service. The low bidder cannot afford to do any of those things, can they? You really do get what you pay for. Another good way to overcome the price objection is just to keep your eyes open for quality things that they have in their home. For instance, you walk through the laundry room and you see the Maytag washer and dryer. Now, whether that's a better machine or not is debatable. But I'll tell you what's not debatable. They spend at least $150 more for that product over what they could have purchased elsewhere. So does that mean that they want quality? Fewer breakdowns? Pride of ownership? Probably. So you walk through the laundry room and you see the Maytag washer and dryer. You walk across the plush carpeting in their living room. Of course, you've got those shoe covers on, right? Quality furnishings throughout. And you look through the window and you see the beautiful automobile sitting out in the driveway. Aren't those the people that give you the toughest time over the price objection? Well, if you look them right in the eyes and you say something like, "You know what? Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you got mad at yourself for owning the best?" What can they say? After all, they've got quality products throughout their home. This is certainly no time to cut corners. Wouldn't you agree? I hope that these techniques and the value-added presentation will assist you in overcoming the price objection. I know it will if you'll just apply it. Remember, when your prospect says the price is too high, you hear them say the value and desire is too low. So go to work on increasing the value and desire rather than arguing about price. Mark Twain might have put it best when he said, "Inherently, each one of us has the substance within to achieve whatever our goals and dreams define. What is missing from each of us is the training, education, knowledge, and insight to utilize what we already have." I hope that you feel by listening to this tape that you will achieve some new knowledge and insight to utilize what you already have. What I just shared with you is not theory. This is proven technique, proven by contractors all over North America, quality contractors just like yourself. But it's not going to do you a bit of good unless you apply it. I've heard people say that life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. So this tape has been part of the 10%, hasn't it? The 90% is now in your court. Put it into your own words. Internalize it. Make it a part of your personality. And I know you'll be successful. Remember this. If you keep on doing what you've always done, you'll keep on getting what you've always got.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. A postage paid response card is also enclosed. Also, don't forget the special offer on our Service Sense tape series. Send in your order today and receive your one-time 20% discount. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.